now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Mark Long.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. It is a Metro Rooter Wednesday. This week is absolutely flying by. By the way, those are obviously the two biggest quarterback runs. We mentioned that whenever that open plays in Jaguar team history. Mark, what are the odds that Chad Henne adds a 37-yard broken field scamper against Philadelphia to add to the tally of great quarterback runs?
You never know. Listen,
it could happen.
I saw Chris Leak go like 50 yards against Alabama one year. So
Chris Leak seemed like he could run. He just wasn't very willing. Is that fair?
Yeah, from
appearances, he didn't look he wanted to stick his nose in there.
No, not at all.
Right? And I'm not saying any quarterback necessarily does, although Tony and I were talking yesterday.
There's not a whole lot of them that when there's pressure are falling onto their butt as they throw the ball the way Chris Leak did, though.
No.
No. I mean, that was kind of his thing.
Yeah, it really was.
What a pretty ball he threw, though.
He did throw a pretty ball, you know.
Still does, apparently.
It may, in fact, do that. Where is he right now?
Well, he's a receivers coach at University of Florida. That's right. Andre DeBose, who...
Did he ever get on the field with Orlando in the Arena League?
I don't know.
I know, because he was supposed to come here, and then he didn't show.
Right.
And then he went to
Orlando.
Got a better
offer, right, down there?
Yeah.
That's a weird deal, how they do that.
That is a weird, incestuous
deal. But Andre DeBose, who's in his sixth year at the University of Florida, 6 years, by the way. It's like you in college. 6 years. Six different.
Hey, young pup. You got a ways to go.
By the way, six different receiver coaches in 6 years, which tells you a lot about that program and why they haven't pumped out a ton of receivers.
So you're saying the receivers coaches do so well they get taken away by higher.
No, I'm not saying that at all. But he said last week, no offense to Jeff Driscoll, but nobody throws a better, prettier ball than Chris Leak still today on that football team.
He always did.
Yeah.
It was just a very catchable looking football too, right? Didn't knock you over with
Ew.
It.
He
got it.
Know.
He was effective.
You know Jeff George.
No. You don't have to be.
No.
He was about as successful in the pros as Jeff George was.
Come on.
Hey, what? Lots
Jeff
of guys
George,
were.
Jeff George was a pretty long career in the NFL.
Was he good?
Well, what's good is all relative to what team you're on.
Is it?
Somewhat.
No, well, somewhat. It can't, right.
At quarterback,
you're not blaming
you don't have a good,
Jeff
you're not
George's
a, you're
surrounding
not a, you're
environment,
not a great
are you?
Quarterback who misses the postseason every year.
Are you not?
I don't think that's possible.
Sometimes?
I don't think it's possible.
It's not possible?
I don't think you can be, in this league where quarterback is, you know, the single most important position, I don't think you can be a great quarterback and have
right.
a team that doesn't make the playoffs.
Well, he was, that's what I'm saying. Jeff George is not a great quarterback in the pros. He threw
but he
a pretty
was good.
Ball.
He was better than Chris Leak.
I probably was.
Okay.
Maybe it was
right,
a bad
we'll
example.
Agree on that.
Just a little hyperbole for you
all right.
on a Wednesday morning for you. We don't have to worry about it. As the guy said, you know, the quarterback class, nobody's going to start right away. But, you know, look, we're all excited about what we've seen from Blake Bortles. Why wouldn't you be? You've seen nothing that makes you go, uh-oh, right? You've seen, in fact, the opposite. You saw something, uh-oh, in rookie minicamp, maybe.
Yeah.
But you know, it's been a steady progression since then. But you look at the Cleveland game. Did you watch any of that?
I did.
Right?
I watched as much as I could watch.
I mean, Hoyer was atrocious,
horrible.
And he got named the starter
horrible.
Today. He was Hoyerable.
You like that?
I kind of do, horrible. Actually. Yeah. Manziel was, I thought, slightly better, but they don't want to throw him to the Wolves and the whole nine yards. Connor Shaw comes in, he puts up all the big numbers, and which just shows you it's a little, now part of it came on
cut.
A Hail Mary.
Yeah.
And he probably will get cut, yeah. And it's just very deceptive. Don't get, you know, we always talk about don't get sucked in by what's happening against second and third teamers in the preseason. We're going to get to see Blake Bortles play somewhat against the first
one
team.
Quarter against Detroit.
I hope that means at least two solid drives for Blake,
yeah,
the way it works
hope.
Out, you
yeah.
know, because, I mean, this week, the reps, you know, oh, we're going to give him some time with the first team. Three reps
yeah,
Monday, and then he took a few more in 7-on-7.
Okay, right,
but it's at 11-on-11. And I'm just going by what Gus said after practice.
And so. I let me just throw this out, that we had a full day yesterday of discussion. The Jags coaches count 7-on-7 the same as 11-on-11.
Oh, Bully for them.
Okay. So I don't know. They count that as team.
When they start playing 7-on-7 football?
Canadian football? Is that still like, they play 7-on-7 in high
do,
school?
They do. 7 or 8, something like that.
I think it's 7-on-7 high school.
I think some of those small schools in the
Canada.
Midwest might
yeah,
do that,
too. Yeah, they probably do, yeah.
You know, when there's 500 miles between houses and what have you. But
what do you do with the 300-pounders?
I don't know. What right. do you do with the three?
Those
they make
corn-fed kids who end up at Nebraska.
That is a
what are they
scary
doing?
Wideout barreling down on you right there, I suppose. I don't know, man.
Jared Lorenzen at quarterback.
That's a tough one. Yeah, well, maybe that's how he ended up there. But so, all right, well, whether they count it or not, whatever they want to count.
Okay. Yeah, it, just a handful
still,
of reps.
It still was limited sure. This week. But, you know, he's getting his first taste, and we'll see. And as I talked here yesterday with Jeff Lagerman, I mean, he thinks at this point, you know, particularly because they're not really forcing. This is not a 50-50 type situation going on right now. He doesn't think there's anything that could happen, barring injury, from this point in the preseason that's going to stop the Jags from putting Chad Henne out as a starter.
I absolutely agree. There's no reason to think that Blake Bortles will be the starting quarterback on opening day or even in the first, I wouldn't even say the first month of the season. I just don't see a scenario. I mean, Henne, I don't see Henne being that bad to where you would say we gotta make a move. I mean,
and that's the thing. He actually played well last week.
He's played well actually all of camp, all of the offseason.
Right, but the first preseason game, he had all these circumstances going on, the ball going over his head, nothing clicked. He had the one opportunity to make a play to Allen Hurns, and he overthrew him, almost got it picked off. Didn't look good, especially when Blake comes in and starts firing BBs
right.
around. But this time, you know, three consecutive scoring drives, which is what everyone was asking. Can the first team offense get in a rhythm? The question will be, you know, this is as close as you'll get to simulating what you're going to have in the regular season with
sure.
the normal substitution patterns, as Gus Bradley pointed out yesterday. Guys like Posluszny may not play as long as some other guys, and Chris Clements, the more veteran players. Now, if you're 29, you're old on this team.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
But, you know, you'll still have your normal
Cecil Shorts.
Patterns.
Yeah, I mean, you know the guys. You know, that's,
sure.
you know, it's going to be Cecil Shorts. It's going to be Toby Gerhart. It's going to play limited. Certainly Paz, maybe Red Bryant, Chris Clemens. I mean, those are the guys you know where they're going to be on opening day, and you just got to get them to opening day.
It was a good day. Injury news wise yesterday, considering, I mean, Austin Pastor is going to be out for a month regardless,
right.
you know, and then they'll reevaluate at that point in time. So there's nothing to be done there, but Luke Bolanco, now, you know, Gus saying he may get some run on Friday night. That is a quick turnaround. And I think there's a guy they're, you know, all indications are they're ready to take a strong look at, you know, and I think if you look at this draft class, even though he wasn't the last guy picked, more people were familiar with Storm Johnson, just because he's a running back, he played at UCF. Luke Bolanco's kind of like the who kind of pick.
He's an offensive lineman,
right,
too.
I'm not knocking
yeah.
Luke, but, you know, you pick an O-lineman that's not from an area school in the sixth round. You're not typically going to know that much about him, but I think right now they got a feeling that he may be able to help this team sooner rather than later.
I think there's now a thought in this building that they might line up Linder and Bolanco and take their lumps early.
How many lumps they'll even take with
Linder
out
there. My point is, then you got U.S. Central, you got three rookies in the
right.
starting lineup because of, you know, listen, I get that Jokel's in his second year, but he
hasn't played any left tackle,
so he's a rookie essentially over there at left tackle, rookie center, rookie right guard,
backup right tackle.
He started 11 games
sure
last year, 12 the year before,
but he's still not your
sure.
guy.
And then Zane Beatles. And you know what? It might be rough going early, but you'll be better in the long run.
You know
because
what?
Because that's three pieces of your offensive line that you hope are here for 5, 6, 7, 10 years. If all goes well.
I think coming out of that draft, if people said, who's the guy, you know, because they didn't know much about, I didn't know much about Luke Bolanco at the time. And, if you look, you say, well, you can't hit on every pick. Man, I'm looking this morning at the last two draft classes. Josh Evans may be on the roster, but there are not many guys that you don't feel like they've got a future with this football team. I mean, even Jeremy Harris, Demetrius McCray, they're pretty high on these guys.
McCray's on the team. There's no question about McCray. He's a backup right cornerback. And you know, assuming they let Alan Ball walk, which I think they'll do because Aaron Colvin is who they project to be that right cornerback
after this season,
opposite Gratz next year in 2015. Yeah. I don't see any scenario in which McCray is not battling Colvin for the starting job next year.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty amazing. We'll actually take a look through there and see kind of where everybody's stock is based on the first couple of drafts. And again, we've only seen 1 year of it, and I keep bringing up the prior GM, whose name shall not be spoken,
not be
according
named.
To some. But you felt good about that first draft class going into year two, right? If you think back, you thought you might have had your bookend tackles. You had Terrence Knighton.
Yeah,
you know,
you
had a bunch of guys that you thought were going to contribute to this football team for a long time.
Derek Cox,
yeah. Right, Mike Thomas. And it didn't work out that way, obviously, in the long run. So you don't want to get too far ahead of yourselves. But,
correct.
Again, just like all we can go on with Blake Bortles is what we've seen up to this point. All we can go on with Dave Caldwell and evaluating what he's brought to the table is what we've seen to this point. And, you know, the wins didn't come last year, but I think when you're just, again, it's not about wins and losses yet. It's going to be soon, but it's about quality of talent on the roster. Mark Long is here. You can tweet him at AP Mark Long. You can tweet me at MD_1010XL. You can tweet Fat Tony at 1010XL Fat Tony. And, of course, at 1010XL Lauren for the lovely and talented Lauren Brooks here on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Our fan feedback spotlight question of the day, brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships, is simply going into the third preseason game, which veteran Jaguar is most firmly or squarely on the roster bubble? Can you be square on a bubble? I don't know. I think you get the gist of it. Which veteran Jag is most in danger of losing his spot on this roster? First cut down coming next Tuesday, by the way, going from 90 to 75, so you'll wave goodbye to at least 15 of the players currently on the Jaguar roster. 641-1010 if you want to get in today. That's the phone number. We'll hear coming up from Jed Fish talking yesterday about the quarterback play, where this offense is as a whole, and a lot more coming your way. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday just getting started. Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. I don't know what the theme is, but you just keep playing this one over and over. I like the song. Kid Rock Cowboy, what do you
Cowboy,
got for the theme?
Well, he's from Detroit, Kid Rock.
Dang it!
Good call! Oh, right there, Mark Long, ladies and gentlemen.
I thought I had a few at least today.
Dang it.
Out of the ballpark.
Wow. Dang it.
Eminem was coming next, and then Everything Motown.
Yeah,
might have been coming
down.
Correct.
That could we have gotten Detroit Rock City by Kiss? Would have been the question.
You shot too big with the first one. Kid Rock and Eminem are the two biggest things from Detroit in recent years.
Yeah, but I didn't think you were quite thinking Detroit yet. It's still only Wednesday.
That's all I've been right
Man,
about.
Man, the automotive industry.
That's all I've been right about.
What it used
That's
to be.
That's true. Well done, Mark.
Blake Bortles. All right. You know what? I feel like John Osher walking in here.
You got a big head now. Gus, get in here. Mark Long is in here.
You're a cowboy.
I don't really do very well on that, her little music.
I am terrible.
It usually takes us at least three.
Well, because I focus on the song, and yesterday she throws in Toby Keith, and it was about Gerhardt, because the question today was about Gerhardt, what numbers he expect him to have at the end of the year. So, right over my head. Metro Rooter Wednesday for all size plumbing jobs, whether it's in your home, your business, industrial plumbing, septic systems, restaurant, grease trap service, you name it, Metro Rooter handles all your plumbing needs. Same day service, weekends included, the right people with the right equipment, and they've been serving Jacksonville since 1978. Visit MetroRooter.com or call 695-1911 to find out more about Metro Rooter services and what they can do for you, our Wednesday sponsor. Let's hear a little bit from Jed Fish, Jaguar offensive coordinator, speaking yesterday prior to practice, this was, and talking about, among other things, Blake Bortles, and is he farther along than even Jed Fish thought he'd be at this point?
I don't think I really went in with any preconceived notions on where he was going to be. Obviously, we were excited when we drafted him, so we thought he was going to be a very good player. And, you know, still excited, obviously, on how he's progressed. I think it's a situation now where each day we're just looking for improvement, and he's challenged himself to get better every day. So, really, I'm not exactly sure where I expect him to be, so he's doing well for where he's at.
All right, you know, no expectations. I don't know if you really have no expectations when you draft a guy third overall, but I guess maybe he's saying didn't want to put exactly where he'd be on that timeline. Obviously, their expectation is this guy is going to play ultimately
eventually,
like a franchise quarterback. So.
Yeah, and they've what they've done, and I think we've talked about it, is they're trying to foster an environment where there's no pressure and no expectations. So when you ask about expectations, this is what you're going to get from
process.
From Dave Caldwell, from Gus Bradley, from Jed Fish, from Blake Bortles, from pretty much everybody who's in the know. They know that they're not trying to put any pressure, any expectations on this kid. They want him to be pressure-free.
And even beyond Blake, just that whole mentality of expectation and the way they think and the way they talk, it just shows you how firmly the roster is in lockstep with the coaching staff right now, because they all have taken on, you know, the Gus mantra. It's all about, you know, I'm not competing with Blake, says Henny. I'm competing with myself to be the best Chad Henny and every day, and it's part of the process, and the results will take care of themselves, and da-da-da. What do you hear Mercedes on the pregame this week? You're like, excuse me? Did Gus just sit down and you start, you know, spouting yeah. some of his Gusisms at
it's
me?
It's amazing when you like and respect a guy, your head coach, how quickly you start repeating him as versus go back to Jack, who was, you know, Jack Del Rio was very...
How about Mike Mularkey?
Well, I was going to get to that. But Jack Del Rio was a roller coaster.
Right.
You know, he was up and down and had a different message each week and a different... was very not very consistent at all. And players don't respond to that. And they certainly, Mularkey, they didn't like that he changed the same thing. He would change from week to week. And, you know, players, they don't know what the message is. It's very clear what the message is, and it hasn't changed from Gus's day one to day whatever this is, 455.
How long was Gus defensive coordinator in Seattle? Was it 3 years?
Two or three, yeah.
I want to say it was three, but regardless, I mean, it's Jack Del Rio had 1 year as a coordinator. You know what I mean? It's he got thrown in, and I don't think he learned some of the finer points of coaching. Like when Gus Bradley came in, that consistency message, you hear that from players, not just with these guys. You go anywhere and talk to players around the NFL, and they're like, I don't care if you tell me I suck, as long as you look me in the eye and tell me I suck, and then when you go behind that door, you say the same thing, and the message doesn't change. You're not saying one thing to a coach over here, telling me something, and I hear about something third hand. As long as it's boom, A, and not A, B.
Yeah, and I think a telling thing about coaching is how you handle the quarterback situation. Do you understand how it plays out in the media, how it plays out with the fans, how it plays out in the locker room, which is definitely more important than any of those others. And if you go back here, Jack Del Rio botched, I don't know, how long have you been following this team, Mike? But Jack Del Rio botched.
96, I mean, okay. As a member of the media.
So Jack Del Rio botched the Leftwich Brunel, botched it pretty big by telling the media that he was going with Leftwich before he told both players.
Right.
He botched the David Garrard twice, you know, where they Leftwich and Garrard, and they ended up cutting Leftwich, you know, during the middle of camp. He's your starter. You'd already named him your starter and said he was your starter all along, and you cut him. Then he botches the whole Garrard Blaine Gabbert situation where you're cutting David after they introduce him as the starting quarterback. You know, I mean, it's just, there's a lot, and Mularkey did the same thing. Go back to Mularkey and the whole, I don't remember the details now, but it was like, Blaine's our starter, and then Blaine got hurt, and then he's not our starter, but he's not our starter because he's injured. He's a starter because he hasn't been benched because of his injury, he's been benched because of his performance, but he can't play anyway. It was just, I mean, just, and so, I give Gus and Dave a ton of props for the way they've handled the quarterback situation here from day one. Unbelievably consistent. And just look at Cleveland and how that's shaken out in terms of, well, you know, we need more time to make a decision. Most people thought that was another game. What? Right?
They took 12 hours.
They didn't even take 24 hours. They took 12. And they sent out a statement this morning saying we've made a decision. Based on what?
Based on the fact that they don't want to throw Manziel to the Wolves. It's the only thing that
Say it yesterday. Then you had to have known that yesterday.
Well, that maybe they wanted. Maybe they did have to know. I don't know. Maybe they wanted to look more thoughtful about it. But
don't create the circus in the first place.
Brian Hoyer didn't win anything.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, but honestly, if I was picking a guy who, and I don't think Manziel was great, and you can talk about shooting the bird all you like, he played better than Hoyer did in that game marginally. Hoyer was abysmal in that football game.
And you still got two preseason games left. Here's the other problem. Now you've named Hoyer your guy.
See, but the problem is they said they would have it by the third preseason.
I understand, because they want to get ready.
Right.
They wanted to start getting ready for the season opener. And
but you don't have to do that. You could say, all right, we're going to split it up. They split it up with him this week.
But,
they split it up with him next week.
And don't put
week.
A timetable on it. Because what if it's not settled?
Right.
And they had put themselves in, they had worked themselves into this corner, and they had to basically name a guy before. They had told everybody we're going to have a guy this week. They had to come up with a guy. And it was very clear from the game that there was no guy. They should have sat another. And now what happens this week if Manziel, I mean, just totally comes out and lights it up at home, by the way, in front of the
I don't think
Manziel
I don't think
mania.
It matters. I don't think it matters. I really don't.
It doesn't, but you tell Chrysell and Hoyer goes 2 for 10.
But what they're looking at is they're looking at Pittsburgh, New Orleans, and Baltimore.
Oh, by the way, historically, Pittsburgh and Baltimore, but not a single one of those three teams was in the top 19 in total defense last year. What
I
have
get
you done
you,
for me lately?
But it's not even as about necessarily the performance. It's about, are they going to be 0-3 after that many games? And maybe Manziel's struggling anyway, has some natural struggles. You can't go back once you go Manziel. You know what I mean? You can't, once you go with
so
the
you're
hot
setting
shot
Hoyer
rookie,
up to fail and
yes,
you put Manziel
yes,
in.
Maybe we'll
for
win
the
some of those
week.
Games unexpectedly, but we expect that we're going to be in for it, in the early going in the season.
Again, just complete crazy thinking and overthinking for coaches. And that's my point is what we were getting at was that I give a lot of props to the way they handled the things here because we haven't gotten that mess and there hasn't been any mixed message at all.
All right, let's hear more from Jed Fish. Going back now, this is the first time we've heard from Jed talking about the performance of these quarterbacks in the Chicago Bear game, the second game of the preseason, talking about Chad Henne's performance there.
Well, I thought Chad's biggest improvement was the fact that we were able to get him some opportunities to throw the ball downfield. He was able to take some shots. He was able to move the ball with great tempo. I think we saw that with Chad, we were able to actually extend some drives. I thought he threw the ball well, though. I think he's continuing to throw the ball confidently and ripping it in there with some good velocity.
All right, the same thing. Blake Bortles, Jed Fish looking back on the Chicago game.
He keeps getting better in terms of understanding the offense. His knowledge base is improving, so he can play faster. He can make some corrections on the fly. He can make some adjustments. Did a good job of checking a play and going to Terry Taylor for a 30-yard gain on the left sideline there. And it was 2nd and 1, and he saw that it was a loaded box, and he just decided that he was going to check. And I think that shows a guy with great confidence. So that part of it's fun, but he just has to continue to build and learn. And he's throwing the ball with a little bit better, I think, velocity also, maybe using his lower body a little better. So that's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, you know, he brings up the Kerry Taylor play, and I wrote about it yesterday. Unbelievable awareness by Blake Bortles right there. It was probably the number one example of where he's shown all the progress and really taken strides. He gets to the line of scrimmage, 2nd and 1 in the third quarter. I think it's maybe this first series in the third quarter. Loaded box. He checks to the pass. So not only a pre-read, so he gets the pre-read down.
It's an either or,
the defense
right.
checks to the pass. And then not only does he check to the pass, but first option covered, second option covered. Kerry Taylor's his third option on, so his third read on the play and hit just an unbelievable throw. So between the pre-snap read, the audible, the check, the progression, and then the throw, it was really a perfect play for Blake and really, I think, opened eyes in the locker room and the coaching staff in terms of this is what we've got here.
And Jeff Lagerman, when he did his film study this week for the website for Jaguars.com, that was one of the plays that he put on there. And on top of all that, when he checked the play at the line of scrimmage, if you watch the replay, Mike Brown didn't have the play. And Mike is sitting over there before the snap. He's looking at Blake like, what are we doing? What are we doing? And Blake sees it right at the end, and he gives him the play before they run that snap. And there's not
through
a lot of
hand,
rookies.
Through
right.
a hand, eye.
There's not a
yeah.
lot of rookies that have that kind of composure and that kind of moment to say, all right, this guy is obviously confused. Let me get this done and then make the throw anyway. It was pretty
there's
incredible.
There's no question that with Blaine Gabbert, that would have been a timeout right there. There's no question in my mind. And a lot of quarterbacks would have just taken timeout. Okay, my receiver doesn't know what he's doing. I read this, that, and
it.
We're all confused.
Oh, it could have been a lot of things.
I'm gonna call timeout and figure it out. Huddle it up and figure it out. And instead, just unbelievable composure. And I think it's just, I mean, again, just a glimpse, Mike. but a real glimpse of what this kid can and probably will do.
Yeah, no question. I think you're selling Blaine way short. The possible outcomes.
He would not have called timeout. He would have actually
sack fumble.
Well, he would have taken a delay of game.
All kinds of options on that play.
Lined up under the guard. You never know what he would have done.
Jed Fish talking about number 84, Cecil Shorts, whose bride last night was on Helmets and Heels. We'll talk with Lauren about that coming up a little bit later on. But Cecil Shorts coming back and what that means.
Cecil looked good. I think one thing we noticed about Cecil was that he came back with good burst. That was the one thing. I mean, he obviously came back with fresh legs, so that helps. But you could see and feel that burst, which was nice. And, you know, what we tried to do is we tried to make Allen Hurns and Cecil Shorts one the last 2 days, let him share some reps, take a little bit load off of Allen's legs, give a little bit, and not obviously throw Cecil right back in it. But excited that he's back with us, and then obviously now we just are waiting on a couple others to join us.
Just stay that way, and we think Cecil will play well. And it's amazing, and no surprise at this point, but if you had gone back to immediately after the draft, that they'd be talking about, let's save Allen Hurns' legs, this undrafted rookie wide receiver, and what he has become to this football team in the early part of the season. He is going to be a part of this passing game.
He's been really probably through camp the one consistent guy, one guy who not only has been consistently making plays on the field, but consistently uninjured. You know, Mike Brown's missed time, Cecil's missed time, Allen's missed time, Marquise Lee may have.
Kerry Taylor probably.
Kerry Taylor too,
a little bit in that category,
but,
with Hurns.
Yeah, and listen, Hurns has been above what they expected. Now, with that said, you know, he knew the offense coming in, he knew Jed Fish, so there's a lot of familiarity there, but again.
Took advantage of it.
And he didn't go missing when the pads came on. A lot of guys in that situation. You know, they make a lot of plays in shorts, and then the pads come on, and they're MIA, so Marcel Jensen style. But he's done it with and without the pads, and there's no question at all. He's as much a lock for this team as some of those late round draft picks from last year.
Oh, no question. And finally, from Jed Fish, this was yesterday, on if there's anything that Blake Bortles hasn't faced up until this point.
No, you know, that's kind of one of the reasons why we try to make decisions on when Chad gets pulled, you know, like for that last game. We could have, you know, originally we all talked about, you know, Chad being in the first half, but what we felt was the way the game was going, it was going to be an opportunity for Blake to try to get a two-minute drive. We knew he wasn't going to play the last drive of the fourth quarter, so that was an opportunity there to get him in. He's been able to go to the red zone a couple times, which has been good. Been able to feel the tightness that occurs when all of a sudden it's third and five on the five. The other situations you're looking for is as we progress, he's going to, you know, get a goal line situation. Hasn't had that yet. We're going to try to, you know, obviously he had the backed up against Tampa where he hit the go route on the sideline. Pretty cool. So we'll just continue to see maybe a sudden change when we get right after a takeaway and take a shot, something to that effect. But it'll be good to see him just continue to get experience.
All right, sudden change. I'm going to call it deep ball coming right after the sudden change.
Yeah.
As far as Blake Bortles goes, pretty cool, says Jed Fish. Pretty cool. Yeah,
pretty cool.
The play
pretty
was
cool.
Pretty cool.
Jed's pretty cool.
Took a shot. Oh, yeah. I mean, this coaching staff, man, I tell you what, they're fun to be around. Certainly there's some things Blake Bortles hasn't faced. Here's one idea. As I'm listening to this, you know, he's not going to play the last drive of the fourth quarter, so it's preseason, right? Why can't you go into your two-minute offense at any point you want? It's 7 minutes left in the first quarter. Hey, guys, let's see if we can score before they're 9 minutes gone. Or, you know what I mean? I mean, you can do that anytime you wanted to, really. Just artificially kind of create that situation. But I'm nitpicking now. All right, we'll take a timeout. 641-1010 if you want to get on board. We've got Mark Long from the Associated Press, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. It's Jaguars today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Grand Funk Railroad. I'm your captain, Mark Long.
For this experience?
I wouldn't have known. I did not know that they were from Detroit, Grand Funk Railroad.
This one, she should have opened with this one.
That, right. That would have definitely. I'm your captain.
Idea.
We would have been like, who's the captain?
Hey, I'm used to people not getting my music themes recently, so I was trying to make it a little easier, okay?
Oh, all right.
Softball. Now, Mark Long is just that good.
he's our captain.
He is our captain. Today he's the captain of the show. Get Gus Bradley in here. By the way, I'm thinking 24 hours from now is about when Gus Bradley
is going to pop in. I was told maybe around 10:40 tomorrow.
Lauren, so I got a question.
We hope for the
you.
Best.
Yes, sir.
Have the helmet and heels. I was going to say trio, but it's really it's
quartet.
A quartet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have the helmet and heels quartet been the have they done the ice bucket challenge? Have they been challenged?
Well, there's a little bit of a story. Yeah. Okay. So I was challenged by one of our listeners last week, and so I did it.
Of course you were, by the way.
people love to challenge people.
Yeah. Okay.
So I did it on the beach on Saturday with a few of my friends, and I did it in my bathing suit, and so I didn't want to post it to all of Twitter.
With ocean water, by the way.
With ocean water.
Not even
That doesn't even count.
Okay, and so apparently what I'm finding out is no one thinks it counts, even though, by the way, it's colder when you're in your bathing suit and not in full clothes. So we were going to redo it last night, and I did challenge, by the way, Mark. I challenged the rest of the cast of Helmets and Heels.
Oh. Okay.
So they are all on alert, and so we were going to do it last night after our show, but we didn't have, right, but we didn't have a bucket, we didn't have ice, and Donna had her son with her, and so it just turned into something that was not feasible at the time. So everyone is still challenged, and I'm assuming I have to do it again.
Yeah, I challenged Frangie.
You did?
you ever see Frangie get a drop of water in his hair?
No.
It drives him crazy. Hates it.
Well,
hates
he's got good hair.
Well,
compared to you.
He's got. I don't have any hair, which is fine. He's got the gelled up little front piece going on there. he does not like the water to touch it. But
well, listen,
he declared yesterday he's got a week to comply.
Oh,
he's changed the rules.
Okay, maybe.
Yeah.
We'll have to find the official rule.
Right.
Rule book.
It's 24 hours. It's supposed to be the rule book on
okay,
that.
Okay, so. Well,
have
just,
you done it?
No. Helmet, but I just, somebody asked me yesterday about helmet and heels, whether they are doing it or should do it or would do it. And I'll find out. I said I'll find out.
It's all for ALS research.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Right.
There's probably some people who think they should all do it in their bathing suit.
Right. See, I thought that counted.
Not me. Well, not with beach water.
Well, you can do it, but you
had ice.
You
had ice in the beach water?
I had ice. Yeah, I had the seawater, and then I poured the ice in there.
Yeah.
How about I'll send y'all the video, so at least you have the proof.
Just send it to Mark.
I will post it on Twitter.
Okay, then I'm not sending it to you.
I am very loyal to my followers.
Yeah.
If I have one follower who wants to see it, I'm posting it for all time.
Apparently you're not loyal to me, so.
That's why I said just send it to Mark. I don't want to be responsible.
I don't even have 10,000 followers. I only have 9,000. How many of them actually would probably even see it?
Maybe. I don't know, but either way, it's not happening, so I'll be happy to redo the challenge.
All right.
Hey, Lauren.
Yes.
Who did you have on last night on Helmets and Heels?
Well, Jessica did a football 101 with Cecil on the receivers, and it is a very challenging position to be able to break down without visual help by just audio. And Cecil did a phenomenal job. We learned a lot about, you know, if the Z's with the tight end, obviously, who's going to line up on the ball, off the ball, that kind of stuff. And then we also had his lovely wife, Chanel, on with us, and she talked about how it is being a, you know, wife to an NFL player, a mom of two. She takes the kids to the games with her. So it was just really interesting to get that perspective, and we had a blast.
Yeah, they got a little baby. I see.
They do. They have little Peyton, who's 7 months old. She is a little sweetheart.
She's out of practice quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Chanel always goes out to practice and brings little baby Pay, is what she calls her.
Baby
Pay. Yeah, baby Pay. And so she's phenomenal. She truly is. And so she talked about how when Cecil got drafted, all of Mount Union campus erupted. And she even had tears in her eyes last night retelling the story. So it was really special. We absolutely loved having her. So, Chanel, if you're listening, you are always welcome to join us.
Who's bigger, do you think, Pierre Garçon or Cecil Shorts?
Ooh.
Pierre Garçon had the best year last year of any. Yeah.
Yeah.
Up to this point.
Yeah.
Right, both Mount Union guys. You were going to say?
Well, I was going to go back to naming your kid Peyton.
Oh.
It's a girl, but I just think that's interesting, being that Peyton Manning is such a
legend.
You know, a legend. I named our daughter is Harper Madden, and you would not believe how many people thought I named her after.
Boom.
Yeah, exactly.
That
John Madden. I'm like, are you kidding me? John Madden?
Well, do you call her Harper Madden, or do you call her Harper?
Call her Harper, but occasionally she gets Harper Madden.
Don't call her Harper.
Okay. If she's in trouble.
Yeah, exactly.
That's when you do the Harper Madden.
Exactly.
Through the clinch
team. Have you seen the new Madden 3.5 minute commercial?
I have not.
Oh.
Dave Franco, it's pretty good.
Is it?
Oh, I think Tony, I can't believe you're underselling it. It's,
Kevin Hart and Dave Franco.
I thought it was epic.
Oh.
Kevin Hart shows up to Dave Franco's house, slaps him in the face, and then the whole thing's like a 3-minute music video.
Yeah, it's a rap video. It's
basically
a rap
hype
video. It's crazy.
Kaepernick's in there,
yeah.
You know, massaging himself, shall we say.
There's a DJ in an outfit in the pool.
There's all kinds of stuff going on in that video.
I think I'd rather see, who's the guy who does a great Madden impersonation?
Frank Caliendo.
Frank Caliendo. I think I'd rather see 3.5 minutes of Frank Caliendo doing John Madden.
Well, you can get that anytime, though.
Yeah.
I mean, he does it. I'm telling you, watch the video.
Right.
You're a fantasy football guy,
too.
I know it's Madden, but, you know, same kind of vein. It's all play football is what it is.
There was a lot going on in that commercial, and it kept going. I was like, man, how long is this thing?
Right. I mean, when I watched it at first, I was like, oh, this is going
to
be a commercial.
30-second spot. Yeah.
I think they played it on SportsCenter the other night. I don't know if they were.
They did it on SportsCenter, and I know they played it during the Monday night game.
Maybe that was it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I saw it the other night, and I went right to YouTube, and, of course, it's on there. You can find it. I tweeted out a link to it. We were talking about Polanco earlier, and it got me thinking about, you know, just the draft picks and how solid things have been the last couple years. I mean, you look back at last year's draft. You hope Luke Jokel turns out to be. We'll find more this year. But everyone, like Baselli, says he has the look of a guy, the athlete. You know, there's nothing that the eyeball test would tell you he isn't what they hope he's going to be. He's got to still do it. Everybody thinks Cyprian's going to be a monster. I think Dwayne Grotz is having a hell of an offseason.
No question.
By the way, really having a great offseason. Ace Sanders, question mark, right?
Sure.
Not very productive as a punt returner last year, and now he's behind the eight ball. So hopefully he can make his mark. So he's the big question mark right there. Denard Robinson, much better offseason. Logman talking about how he got into it with him this week about the nerve damage and literally couldn't extend the pinky and ring finger on his right hand, and they kind of were half closed towards his palm, so he was trying to catch eight-fingered with the other two covering up one of his palms last year, and that's why, in part, a major part of why he struggled so much, but he's looked good, right, in the preseason. Josh Evans. Where's Josh Evans right now to you?
I don't know. I don't know if he's a two or a three. I know this. When the depth chart came out, what was that, like 10 days ago? He was listed at third team. And Josh Evans' response was, that's a typo. So he thinks that he's a second teamer.
Well, he played second.
He has played some second.
Game,
he has played some second. He's also played a little third out at practice. So he's a bubble guy. I would say he's a roster bubble guy. I don't know if you keep him or Mighty Joe Young or, you know, or who's the other one I'm missing? Well, Przinski's in the mix there, but there's Sherrod Martin. So those four, I think two of them make the team, but I just don't know which two.
And then the seventh-round picks, we mentioned them earlier, Jeremy Harris and Demetrius McCray.
I think they're both locks to make the team right now.
Yeah, I agree with you. So that's, you know, top to bottom, question mark next to kind of a incomplete with Ace Sanders, don't really know. I mean, everyone's incomplete at this point. Josh Evans is the guy who may be on the biggest roster bubble. Blake Bortles this year, you start at the top, early returns. You're grinning ear to ear if you're a Jaguar fan, right? Marquise Lee has had his moments, has had his struggles, but I think the talent's there. And, you know, former Biletnikoff Award winner. Nobody would have been shocked if he went in the first round of the draft.
And I would say the moments totally outweigh the issues.
The problems,
the drops,
I don't think it's any major problems.
I think the guy has shown some unbelievably dynamic skill set out there. Good hands most of the time. Great first steps, a lot of burst, and the beauty of him is you can tell that the Jags like him because Jed Fish is creating ways to get him the football.
Right.
Unique.
Like they did
in different
last
ways.
Week.
Yeah.
Yeah, he even said after he said, what's the game plan? Let's get the ball to Marquise and Mercedes early in this football game. That's basically the game plan. Let's get these guys
involved.
Listen,
there's a good chance those two will be your bell cows by the mid-season point.
Allen Robinson, if he can get healthy and walking around on the sidelines, catching a few balls, not near coming back yet, but hopefully sooner rather than later, has looked very good. I don't want to say, you know, he doesn't look like, I don't want to put too much of a crazy emphasis on it, but I mean, just in the glimpses we've seen.
There has not been a moment where he's looked like a rookie since, go back to rookie minicamp, OTAs, whatever you want to look at. There, when he's been on the field, he does not look like.
And if you had told me he would have been healthy all summer, I think he might have been the most dangerous weapon in this passing game, just from the glimpses we've seen up to the. So, put it this way: early returns good. Brandon Linder, early returns very good. Logman said he thinks he's the, right now playing like the best interior lineman on this team, including Zane Beatles.
Wow.
You know, so, Aaron Colvin, redshirt year, wait and see. You know, but,
projected to be their starting cornerback next year on the right side opposite Gratz. So that's what they're seeing. And he's out there running right now. He's back. He's running full speed. He's got the knee brace on, but he's running pretty much all through practice, running sprints. So he's making progress.
May end up being a steal, obviously, because of the injury where you got Kelvin Smith. Forget it. I mean, steal already in my mind. You know, just you can see the glimpses. And again, Jeff yesterday said, I don't care what he weighs. He goes, you know, if you can get to 225, he goes, he plays a lot bigger than 218, 219, or whatever he's at right now. This guy is going to be phenomenal. He's just a playmaker.
Yeah, and people, I saw him at Florida State. I'm sure you guys did too. I mean, the guy stood out when you watched Florida State's defense play on a defense filled with talent. He stood out there, and that's what he's doing right here. He's standing out.
Eye-opening plays.
Absolutely.
In just about every practice.
He may only be a one-down linebacker, but...
To start.
And I'll tell you where he's gonna shine on special teams, too.
Right. Chris Smith, he splashed, right, just with his quick first step. At times, Luke Bowanko, we talked about him, and Storm Johnson. You know, I mean, all these guys, it looked like, put it this way, there's just nobody that you go, and I remember Del Rio saying this one year, just saying, you know, sometimes you get a guy in, and you think no matter how much you scatter them, and you get them on the practice field, and you're like, oh, you know.
Yeah, this is what we did, yeah.
Right, and there's been no hint of any of that. Really, in 2 years, for the most part, for Dave
and again, Colvin. not the most talented roster in the league, top to bottom. So
no.
You would think these guys would make it. You would think these guys would somewhat stand out here and there. But again, you just don't have the rookie struggles that you might expect.
All right, they're demanding on Twitter video of Warren doing the ALS size bucket challenge.
I was demanding
right
it too.
Now we got to take a quick timeout. We come back. This date in football history. We'll do the Honda drive around the NFL. Rick Ballew's going to join us from the Jaguars sideline onto your radio dial. It's Jaguars Today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I'm Lauren Brooks, your 1010XL 92.5 FM, Heekin Orthopedic Local Sports Update, brought to you by Osteen Volvo. Jags quarterback Blake Bortles has been impressive so far, but has the rookie exceeded his own expectations?
You know, I didn't know. I didn't really have any expectations. I'd never done this before. So, you know, I kind of figured I'd go in, take it day by day, and, you know, try and take coaching as best as I possibly could and improve and raise the bar each and every day. And, you know, this has been the outcome so far, and I got to continue to keep trying to get better.
Bortles has already recognized how much faster the speed of the game is while taking first-team reps this week. The center position is still up for grabs, though Jacques McClendon has taken all of the snaps with the first team in this week's first two practices and is expected to get the start Friday in Detroit. Johnny Football is going to know what it feels like to ride the pine now that Coach Mike Pettine chose QB Brian Hoyer to be the Browns starter week one. The announcement comes just after Manziel flicked off the Washington bench. And the Jacksonville Suns series with the Pensacola Blue Wahoos is now tied up at one. So head out for Game 3 with first pitch at 6:05 at Bragan Field at the baseball grounds of Jacksonville tonight. I'm Lauren Brooks with your 1010XL 92.5 FM, Heekin Orthopedic Local Sports Update, brought to you by Osteen Volvo. More Jaguars Today with Mike Dempsey, Mark Long, and Fat Tony is coming up next on your home for the Jags, 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
We think we save it just for you, Mark.
We do
it every single solitary day. Every single. Is that the same as each and every? Kind of is, right?
Yeah. I think you just need to say every.
Every day.
Right. Yeah.
That's
right. Keep it short.
Thank you. Each or every, not simple. Each and every. In 1920. Whoa! Whoa.
Going back a few years.
96 years ago, representatives of four professional football clubs met in the first of two meetings in Canton, Ohio. You may have heard of the city. The meetings led to the founding of the American Professional Football Association. 2 years later, the APFA officially became, anyone?
I believe the NFL.
The National Football League. Very good guess on your part right there. Also, on this date in 2005, sad news, Thomas Herrien. I don't even remember this. Do you remember this? He collapsed and died after a preseason game in Denver.
Linebacker?
I don't know. I'll be honest with you, I don't know.
Died after a preseason game.
Wow. Also on this date in 1991, well, I tell you what, Ronnie Gadsden's birthday was in 1971. Little did he know that in 1991, 20 years later, Dan Marino, his future quarterback, would get a contract that topped Joe Montana's to make him at the time the highest paid quarterback in the National Football League, probably highest paid player in the National Football League. There you go. This date in football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. If your spouse or you need the stop snoring mouth guard, check them out. They're located on Gate Parkway. You can give them a call at 620-9225. Visit James J. McCall. Get a complete list of their comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL. Brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Browns head coach Mike Pettine has announced who the team's starter will be week one when Cleveland travels to Pittsburgh to take on division rival the Steelers. Pettine said that Brian Hoyer will get the start, saying, quote, "He was the clear leader from the beginning. We've maintained all along that if it was close, I would prefer to go with the more experienced player. Brian has done a good job in the meeting rooms and with his teammates on the practice field. And in the locker room, is that last bit maybe a subtle message to Johnny Football? Hoyer will be the 12th different opening day starter for the Browns since they came back to Cleveland.
What's missing from Hoyer, though? A good job on the actual playing field.
That's
right. He's done a good job in the meeting room.
They basically said
the teammates like it.
He didn't flip anybody off. And he didn't flip anybody off.
And he is a Cleveland native, by the way.
That he is. Denver Broncos running back Monty Ball returned to practice for the team after 2 weeks. After having an appendectomy, Ball, slated to be the Broncos' starting running back, was only able to participate in individual drills, and his availability for the Broncos' preseason game on Saturday is still up in the air. And I have the answer to the quarterback question that we were given during crosstalk today. It has happened 5 times in the past 15 years that in the first round of the draft we've had quarterbacks that did not start on.
No, they said the entire draft.
Right, the entire draft? I have no idea. But first round, I got the answer.
Okay,
no, first round would work.
All
first
right.
round.
That's what,
I mean, yeah.
Chad Pennington in 2000.
Okay.
Didn't start. In 2004.
Wait, he was the only first round draft pick in 2000?
Yes. Ooh.
Jets
yes.
had 4 first rounders that year.
Yeah. Woohoo! In 2004, Eli Manning, Phillip Rivers, and Ben Roethlisberger all did not start on opening day. How about that trio? Doesn't get better from there. 2005, Alex Smith, Jason Campbell, Aaron Rodgers. 2006, Bus. Vince Young, Matt Leinart, Jay Cutler. 2007, Jamarcus Russell and Brady Quinn. So for 4 years in a row there were a combined 11 quarterbacks taken in the first round. None of them started on those.
Wow.
So when was Drunken Miller drafted?
97-something? 97.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, the question was, and maybe one of those years, by the way. I mean, the great likelihood is if you're going to have a starting quarterback on opening day, he was taken in the first round.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, when was the last time we've had a year when no rookie quarterback opened up the season as a starter, which it looks like we're going to have this year? We've got a rookie sideline reporter in terms of the National Football League's Jacksonville Jaguars, but an established one from the college ranks and more. Rick Ballew here with us, and he'll be part of the broadcast team this Friday night as the Jags are in Detroit. What's up, Rick? Good morning. How are you?
Obviously, it's going to be the most important of the four, and it should be very interesting to see what happens for this football team, and particularly how Bortles does with the ones.
Rick, we're talking today about, you know, veteran players and really looking back at the first couple of drafts for Dave Caldwell and how solid they really are. Not a whole lot of guys as question marks right now in terms of their position on this roster. But if you look at a guy who, you know, not a member of this rookie class, which guy do you think is on the hottest seat going into week three of the preseason in terms of his overall roster spot?
Well, before Caldwell, Mike Harris. I think you got to look at right now and wonder as to whether or not he's going to make this football team. Przinski as well, but then again, he's been on the hot seat since the day he arrived, and he always finds a way to stick around. But, you know, those would be the two right there. You know, I think Alu got a lot of off-season play as to whether or not he would not make the cut, but I think he's proven that he's certainly part of their rotation and a part of their plan. As far as the David Caldwell draft classes, though, I don't think there's anyone that he's selected over the last couple of years that really is in doubt right now. I think all those guys make the team.
Yeah, and I would say I agree with you, Rick. I think maybe the only one question might be Josh Evans, you know, the kid out of Florida, sixth round draft pick last year, was a starter last year, started a bunch of games, and then got kind of benched there at the end. And you know, but he seems to have been making some plays, and he had an interception, you know, last week. So, you know, what do you think about him?
Yeah, you know, I think that's interesting because it was amazing a year ago to see the 53-man roster. Then I believe they made 10 transactions within a 48-hour period. So it's really like it was a 43-man roster because they added 10 guys. I mean, how many will they add this year after they set that 53? In my particular opinion, you know, I think safety's one of those positions where even if Evans is on it and they keep four safeties, if they feel they can get better grabbing a guy who's cut off another roster, you know, that would be a position. Tight end to me would be a position where maybe they're able to do that. Who knows? Maybe a little bit more depth now on that offensive line with two of the youngsters going down this past week in Chicago. So I think those would be the three positions that even if they are on the initial 53-man roster, you could maybe see a switch over the weekend and those guys not necessarily be around come, let's say, week one when they get ready to go to Philadelphia.
Hey, Rick, obviously we're going to see Blake Bortles get about a quarter of a run with the first team. You know, Gus Bradley said he's not inclined to start Chad Henne, bring in Blake Bortles, and then go back to Chad Henne. How much, ultimately, would you like to see Chad Henne play to get ready for the season?
You know, I think a lot of it might down to situation football. I mean, wow, last week it was, what, 26 plays to 3 early on in that first quarter. And when you're able to do something like that, it kind of speeds up what you're trying to do offensively. I know the game plan there was Kenny for a half and Bortles the third quarter. But because of so many offensive plays, they were able to get Bortles in midway through quarter number two. You know, I'd like to see at least a quarter and a half, or how about, you know, 3 to 4 drives. If there's a couple 3-and-outs, then that would, in my opinion, give him an opportunity for a fourth drive. But if he's able to move the football and there's good tempo, Kenny showed in Chicago, and they're moving the ball and they have an 8, 9, 10 play drop, and you know they're setting things up for either a field goal or getting into the end zone, then maybe 3. So to answer your question, I'd say 3 to 4 drives, probably midway through quarter number 2, and then give Bortles the rest of that quarter. And I think in a game like this, you'll see the 1 still in, you know, let's say halfway through quarter number 3. So Bortles will also get an opportunity to work with the ones then.
All right, Rick Blue here, who you'll hear on the broadcast working the sidelines on Friday night on the Jaguar flagship, 1010XL 92.5 FM, and this afternoon with Frank Frangie, Brent Martineau, Jessica Blaylock, and Big Country. Rick, final thought, better test this week for the Jaguar defense with the Detroit offense comparable to last week, or was Chicago's, in your mind, expected to be better this season?
You know, as bad as Tampa was, they were pretty stout in the middle with McCoy. I thought the Bears were a nice football team, but, you know, a guy like Jared Allen, I didn't think was as good as he's been over the last decade. It appeared to me that he was clearly down a step or two. So I'll be very interested in what's going on here with Detroit, another very nasty defense in a physical division. I think it's a great test for this Jaguars offensive line, especially after the injuries that we have seen. I think also because it is game number 3 and we know that Detroit as well is going to play their ones deep into this football game, this is their biggest test, in my opinion, over Chicago and over Tampa Bay, because the ones are going to play into that third quarter. So I think this is the biggest. It will be the best game so far for the Jaguars. And I also think, guys, when we wake up on Saturday morning, or when, Mike, you're talking about it late Friday night after the game, I think we'll have a better understanding as a group as to where this football team really is.
Let's hope so. Let's hope it's an injury-free night for the Jags on Friday night. Rick Ballew, again, you'll catch him this afternoon. Then, Rick, leaving on the bus for the plane around noon tomorrow, right?
Absolutely. It should be fun. Thinking about never been over to Ontario. I hear there's a lot of fun over in Windsor, Ontario. So I got a Thursday night on my own. That may just be where I head. We'll have to see. You never know until you're out there and you're actually involved in it.
North of the border on Thursday night. That's where you'll find Rick Ballew. If you're heading up Ontario Way.
Do you have you bringing your passport?
I've got it. That's already packed and ready to go.
All right. Hey, Rick.
We want to see the stamp when you come back. We want to see the Ontario stamp.
Well, I post
stamp.
On Facebook and I post right. on Twitter. So, you know, right. it's up there. You guys will be able to see it.
All right, Rick. Thanks, man. We'll hear you this afternoon.
All right. Take care.
All right, there he goes. Rick Blue, Jaguar sideline reporter. 641-1010 if you want to get in. Don't forget the fan feedback question of the day asks what we asked Rick, which veteran player is most firmly on the roster bubble as the Jags head into week three of the preseason. You can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at AP Mark Long, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren. Of course, you can post on the Facebook page as well, facebook.com/Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey, Mark Long, Fat Tony here with you in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. I thought we'd get some classic Motown at some point. You think, right? White Stripes are from Detroit, too, huh?
All right. So.
I'm teaching here is what I'm doing.
Ah, wow.
We went to school with Lagerman yesterday. I feel like I go to school on Tuesdays. You know? Professor Lagerman. I told Mark about the shake-off. I didn't say who it was in reference to.
I'm still waiting for Eminem, by the way.
Oh, that would be fine, too.
He's got to come with Eminem, right?
You would think.
If you're going to go do a Detroit thing.
You seem like a girl who would dig Motown, Lauren. Am I wrong?
No, I do like Motown. We're kind of supposed to play newer stuff as bump music, though. So
oh, okay.
I'd try to keep it, you
all
know,
right, that's fine.
A little fresher.
I see. Corporate.
Eminem?
Corporate cram down.
Eminem is fresh.
Eminem's coming pipe down over there.
It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday.
Do I get Eminem before I get video of your...
You're not getting
beach
video.
Bucket, beach bucket challenge.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Beach blanket bingo.
Somehow it must have been deleted. I don't know where it went.
That's what happened to mine. Did you hear the story? My first
great
one,
story.
I did it. Got deleted. I was trying to edit it because my wife was like, okay, we're done. And she's like filming the grass, you know, and all. And I'm like, I got to clip the end. And somehow instead of clipping just the end, I clipped everything but the end. So I had like, you know, a 12-second thing in my yard and missed all the good stuff, so we had to do it again. Changed clothes, dried off, got dry clothes. My wife proceeds to take 7 still photos of me with the iPad.
Awesome.
By this time, we're out of the bag of ice, so we had to empty all the trays, so I've got like nuggets of ice. My son is like in
you
a,
have
in
trays
the,
of ice?
Trays of ice at the house. You
don't trays have, of ice?
Yeah, I don't have an ice maker, sorry.
Wow. That's actually the new, you bury the lead there. The
trays lead, of the ice? Is, really?
You have trays
that,
of ice.
That is,
yes, that's what I'm taking out of
that.
The story. You have a refrigerator that has trays of ice.
Yes. What's
I'm
wrong?
Sorry.
I mean, my refrigerator, we got the house.
It's 2014.
Yeah, but we've had that refrigerator. It works. And we haven't had to change it since we moved into the house. I don't even remember when we moved into the house.
Right.
Around 2000,
right.
Something like
trays
that.
Trays of ice. When's the last time you filled up a tray of ice, Tony?
Last time I went to my grandparents.
All right.
You're getting older by the minute.
I'm going to say something really bad. I shouldn't say on the radio to both of you.
Anyway, okay, that's a great story.
Over, when you come to
so
my
you don't
house,
have
you're
video.
Drinking warm beer,
so you don't,
warm soda.
So you don't
warm.
Have video, basically.
No, so I did it a third time.
Oh, you
is
did
the
it
point.
Third time.
Yes, and that's
you
when
got
the cubes from the trays of ice pelted me on the head, concussed me, as my son, he was up in like the little, you know, the little fort above the slide, and he's dumping it for the third time. Oh, he had a great, great
who did you game. Get challenged by?
My cousin John and Jimmy Wilson, who's a friend of mine on Facebook here in Jacksonville. So they both challenged me at the same time, and I complied.
Nice.
Still waiting on for Angie.
Nice.
Clock's ticking.
Mm-hmm.
Clock.
He thinks ticking. He thinks he has 2 weeks, right?
He's on for Angie time. He does what he does. He's got to go to Detroit. It takes a while to get that hair perfect.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't want to do it now. It's too late in the week.
You got to get on a flight.
You
in 2
don't
days.
Know if that hair can bounce back by the time you head to
Dave
Detroit.
Caldwell and Marcus Pollard did it yesterday.
Oh, did they?
On the practice field.
Marcus Pollard.
Is there video of that?
Guy here.
I have video of that. I couldn't post it. Here's the thing. My phone won't post video to Twitter. So, and Vine, you know, being only 6 seconds.
Oh, you buried the lead here. What is that, a rotary dial? You got a rotary dial over there? Huh?
Twitter doesn't accept
what?
Necessarily long videos. It's got to be a short video. And Vine,
my Twitter does. What, you got that old Twitter, huh?
At any rate, I could not post the video. But they called out Lagerman, Baselli, and Fred Taylor. 3 Jaguar
nice.
Greats.
And Fred Taylor did it. I saw the video yesterday.
Good for Fred.
Oh, Fred did it yesterday.
Fred did it, yep.
Nice.
Yeah, he did it shirtless.
Oh, wow.
Well,
if I
just saying that.
Right, if I look like Fred, I'd walk around shirtless.
I'd live shirtless. You'd be like Tiger,
they'd
right?
Like, yeah, they'd have to put up signs at every building that I go to. Shoes, shirt, or you know, service or whatever. You know?
No shoes, yeah.
Yeah,
something,
that one.
Right,
that one. That hippie sign, yeah.
Painted on.
didn't Lagerman say he wouldn't do it?
He did. He's like, I'm just going to make a donation.
Yeah.
Right.
Lagerman's such a...
Come on,
Grump. Come on, Grump. Tiger went on Jimmy Fallon. I did not see this. Everyone's talking about how tight his shirt was on the Jimmy Fallon show. First of all...
Tiger Woods?
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, Tiger's ripped, and he wants to show it off.
Yeah.
You never know what Denny's waitress out there is going to be watching
Perkins.
Late at night.
Perkins.
Whatever.
Get your story
whatever.
Straight.
I mean, maybe he's upwardly mobile. Denny's, Perkins.
He's moved out from Perkins to Denny's?
What's the pecking order there?
I don't know.
I don't know. Perkins serves, but I know Denny's has the Grand Slam breakfast, right?
I haven't been to either in a long, long time.
Is that right?
I know.
Mr. High Class. Jacksonville Axemen in action this Saturday, taking on the Philadelphia Fight Rugby League Championship. Tell you what we're going to do. We have two pair of tickets that we're going to give away right now. Callers 3 and 4. If you want to go see the Axemen in action on Friday. Tony, what is the bloodbath that's going to precede this?
It's at 5 o'clock? They're calling it a Barbarians match.
Okay.
Between New Zealand and the USA. So, yeah, check it out. 5 o'clock, they're going to be out there playing a Barbarians. Only rugby.
Am I right in saying that New Zealand should beat the United States in nothing ever?
Well, no, they're really good in rugby.
But they're fantastic. They're this big, though.
The rugby players aren't.
I'm not saying, but how many people do they have to draw from? We have all this entire country to draw from. Let's get
with that said, we shouldn't lose soccer matches.
You're right.
To small, little, tiny countries
you are correct.
Europe.
Sir.
Okay. All right.
You're absolutely right.
Central America.
I'm just saying, you know.
All right.
I'm sure they are. I know the New Zealand, like the All Blacks, isn't that one of their infamous teams out there? Anyway, if you want to go see the Rampage?
Barbarians.
The Barbarians. It's the Purge.
You're just going through the movies. You're going through movies and names and
whatever.
WWE stuff.
I love the Axemen. Spinner Howland has done a phenomenal job taking that from just a little, you know, club-sized little thing to national landscape. So if you want to go see out at Hodges Stadium this Saturday, got tickets for the third and fourth caller at 641-1010, and we'll take your name. We'll leave them for you. We'll call, and that's it. That's as easy as it is. You don't even have to swing by and pick it up. By the way, Jimmy Wilson's on the line right now. He's one of the ones who challenged me to Ice Bucket Challenge.
Oh, wow.
And he posted a very nice video as well about it, and he joins us here. Hi, Jimmy. How are you?
What's going on, fellas? How we doing?
We're good. Hey, let me look it back. I'm trying to remember the details of your video. You had a friend that had ALS, is that right?
No, I didn't. How the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge started was a young man up in New England area found out one of his friends had ALS, and he just decided to start raising awareness because apparently it attacks your all your auditory stuff. You know, it just attacks everything, and you lose everything. You can't do anything. Your muscle memory's gone. And so what the Ice Bucket Challenge does is it's supposed to, you know, the ice and the cold water pauses all your sentries for just a split second. So it's kind of how he came up with it. But the kid, he was out celebrating because he found out he raised $100,000. He was 2 in the morning. He jumped off a roof of something, landed on some rocks, came up, and he floated right back down to the bottom. So he just passed away at 2 a.m. Saturday. It was nuts how it happened. And nobody knew. Everybody kept doing it and doing it and doing it, but nobody actually knew why we were doing it. So I was getting my ice, putting it in my bucket, saw an article on the Blaze about it, and I was like, oh my God. I was like, I gotta say something. It's kind of like one of those things where it just kind of hit me all at once. But, did you see Hollis's thing? He kicked a bucket. He kicked a football. He put a football on a ladder with a bucket of ice on a ladder, and then he kicked the football onto his daughter, somebody like that, or his wife. Do you see Hollis?
So he kicked the bucket with the football and knocked it on. Did for somebody else's thing and knocked it on it.
It's actually great until the bucket
hits you in the head.
Or
no doubt.
Well,
one or the other.
Take the football over the bucket.
I wonder if that was one take for Mike Hollis.
I know it probably was. He's so accurate in the NFL. I can't see how it wouldn't be. But another
deadly
thing I wanted to talk about
bucket accuracy. Go ahead,
another thing I wanted to talk about was the depth that we're accumulating at the cornerback and the secondary positions altogether is actually quite astounding. I didn't really think we were going to be able to do that in such a short period of time. You guys mentioned earlier cutting Guy or getting rid of him in favor of Colvin. And I don't see why we couldn't keep everybody and just kind of do it as a rotational thing. Given that the league is more gearing towards the nickelback packages anyway, wouldn't you want that those two guys playing together anyway?
Not Guy. I think we said – I said Alan Ball. Aaron Colvin is projected to be their starting right cornerback, maybe even as early as next year. Here's the thing. Ball will have 2 years of starter reps in the league. You know, he was a bit of a journeyman coming over from Houston. I don't know if he was. I think he was just maybe with Houston.
Houston
maybe
and Dallas.
And Dallas, yeah. So he comes in and he starts last year and he starts this year. So, you know, I don't know what they'll be able to re-sign. You're talking about keeping Ball. It's a matter of what you're going to be able to re-sign him for. Are you going to be able to, you know, do you pay him starter money as a cornerback in this league after 2 years of starts? I don't know that they're willing to do that if they, because of McCray, because of Jeremy Harris, because of Aaron Colvin. Again, they drafted Colvin in the fourth round, and the guy's maybe late first, early second round talent, and they think he's going to be a starting caliber cornerback for them in this league. So I wonder whether or not financially you would even make that commitment to Alan Ball.
Right. Ultimately, I mean, you know, you find frontline players and you stick them in there and you roll with them, and it's great to have depth, but that's what it is. You know, Richard Sherman is not coming off the field. I'm not saying Aaron Colvin's going to be Richard Sherman, but that's the goal, is to find a guy at whatever position. Now, defensive tackle, stuff like that, where you rotate guys in, is one thing. But, you know, it's good to have depth, and you're right. You got to have a lot of good corners, but your frontline guys are your frontline guys, ultimately, and they hope Gratz and Colvin can be those guys.
Yeah, and listen, and don't he's right in terms of probably one thing, that if Ball does play really well this year, maybe you do sign him and then see what happens. There's certainly no guarantees with Colvin, and you haven't seen Colvin play, so you know, maybe Alan Ball's the, you know, maybe he's the long term answer there. I don't know.
Well, we'll find out.
Yeah.
You know.
But he's right.
He's a short term answer there.
Yeah, absolutely, and he's right in terms of they are accumulating depth on the back end, which is, you know, something we haven't had here.
And
in a
not
long time.
Spending, you know, I mean, Colvin in the fourth round, Gratz in the third.
Third, yeah.
I mean, that's kind of the Seattle model as well. You know, Richard Sherman was, what, a fifth round pick?
Fifth round pick. Yeah, and the defensive end was a third round. Who am I missing?
Not Bruce Irvin. He was a first rounder.
Yeah, no, the.
Defensive end?
I think it's a defensive end. Maybe it's the linebacker.
Bobby Wagner. He was a third.
Wagner, okay.
He was a second round pick. I mean, if that's who you're thinking of.
Give me a safety.
Earl Thomas was in the first. Chancellor was third or fourth. Yeah.
Cam Chancellor.
Right.
That's who I was thinking.
But you're
Chancellor.
The idea is to find guys, and they spent, you know, the Jags spent a high pick on Cyprian, relatively, you know,
sure.
First pick of the second round. But the idea is you can find corners that fit your mold.
Scheme.
You're right. Your scheme. It's, you know, very similar to Gary Kubiak running that zone, based running attack. You can find running backs in round five or six that were specific one-cut type guys, and you could plug them into that system, and they would perform like, you know, first-round picks or better if that first-round pick happens to be a guy named Trent Richardson, for example. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back, take a look at some of your responses to the Tom Bush Family Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight today, asking you which veteran Jaguar is most squarely on the roster bubble as we head into preseason week three. Also, if you head over to the Facebook page, the newest photo contest is up, courtesy of Foundation Professionals of Florida. If you've got an automobile, a van, a truck, whatever, it's decked out in Jaguar motif, post your picture there, and you can possibly go in a drawing for a pair of tickets to the home opener in the regular season when the Jags host the Indianapolis Colts in week three. Foundation Professionals of Florida, taking care of the foundation of your most important investment, your home. They've got engineers and specialists and a full-service foundation repair company. Let them give you the peace of mind that your home is safe to work with your insurance company. Financing is available, and, of course, they are licensed and insured. Call Foundation Professionals of Florida at 287-2690 or visit foundationprosfl.com. Coming back, we'll take a look. Which vet do you think is in the crosshairs coming up this week? Mike Dempsey, Mark Long, and Fat Tony. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Finally.
Asked and answered. Asked and received.
Finally.
There it is. Now Mark is... his hand is
bobbing
up in the air.
I know
right
this
now.
Song pretty well. We got to wait 30 seconds for the lead-in. So, I mean, you know, we got some time here.
Mark, maybe I was punishing you because you guessed my music theme too quickly today.
I love this song. Listen, I covered the U.S. men's and women's polo, water polo team in 2008 Beijing Olympics.
Once again, and, burying the lead.
I know. And this was their theme song for the men's team. And they played it during warm-ups or everything. So I got to hear this quite a bit in Beijing.
That's
I
don't know what that made this song.
I don't know that the Beijing locals, you know, had as much respect for it as me, but yeah.
All right, snap back to reality. Let's get back to the program here. Jaguars today here. Let's get a phone call or two in, and we'll get to the Tom Bush family of dealership fan feedback spotlight. And let's see where we're going to go. How about Steve up next on Jaguars today? Hi, Steve. How are you?
Hey, it's the Mike and Mark show, huh?
Mike, Mark, and Fat Tony. What's going on?
God, and Fat Tony. I can't forget Fat Tony. Nothing much. I think Josh Evans is probably the veteran that I would say is on the chopping block. And I got another thing about did I hear there's a 55-man roster now instead of 53 that they added to the practice squad?
Not my understanding that the –
No, still a 53-man roster. You always had a 53-man roster and
eight inactive on game day. Right. Plus the eight of those inactive on game day and an 8-man practice squad, right.
Correct.
So
now it's
63 men under your control, so to speak. Right? 53-man roster plus 10 on the practice squad.
Yeah, they added two spots to the practice squad yesterday, essentially.
That's not the same as the 53-man roster.
Correct. It's completely different. But I'll tell you what the interesting part of all that is these guys are making, do you know what they make? Did you see this?
How much?
$6,000 a week for being on the practice squad, totaling, if you're on the practice squad for all 16 weeks, totaling $107,000 to not play football.
No, but, I mean, when you consider what the minimum salary is in the National Football League,
sure.
It's still a bargain for NFL teams.
$400,000, you're basically making a fourth of what the low guy on the totem pole.
It's a pretty good job if you can get it, but I mean, again, there's a lot of work, and your dream is obviously not to stop there. And just because you're on the practice squad for 3 weeks, you can get dropped for the next hot thing.
Absolutely,
you know.
Yeah.
But I'd take it. I mean, anyone has room right now would take six grand a week,
16 weeks to just go out there and run opposing opponents' play.
I'd like that to start in February, and I'll take my 16 weeks right then, and I'll come back or whatever. Can I pick and choose my weeks?
There you go.
I'll give you the time right the month before training camp and whatever I can do for you. All right, thank you, Steve.
It is a nice thing. It allows teams to basically keep and develop some of their own. So you're going to see. When they cut all these guys, they're going to cut, almost 30 guys. They'll be able to keep a third of those guys, probably, or get guys off of the street and sign them to the practice
right.
squad.
And guys can get poached off your practice squad, too.
Yeah, but you have to poach a guy off somebody's practice squad. First off, you get first right of refusal.
Correct, but you have to elevate them to your active roster.
And if you elevate them, they're up for, I believe it's 3 weeks
it
or 4 weeks.
I thought it might have been five. It's a period of time they have to remain on the active roster.
Yeah, so if you poach a guy off somebody else's practice squad, you have to put them on your active roster for four. I think
right.
it's 4 weeks.
Here's what I've never understood. Why are there any inactives on game day? Is this an obvious thing I'm missing? What difference does it make? I mean, you got 53 guys. You worry about injuries and depth and all that. Have 53 guys available to you. What is wrong with that? I don't understand why you can't just have them all active. Is it just to put constraints?
I think it's to level the playing field for injuries. Because you're going to have a few guys injured.
But you're going to have them injured anyway, and they're going to be stashed on your inactives.
If you have 53 guys and you have 7 injured, then you're down to 45. But if this team has 53 guys and all 53 are healthy, then they have an advantage.
Wah. Wah. Rich, you're up next here on Jaguars Today. Go ahead, man.
Hey, Mike, is your VHS player working as good as your refrigerator?
I haven't upgraded from Betamax yet, but I appreciate the thought.
Nice.
Hey,
that's nice.
I'm going to go dub some of my cassettes when I get home, too. I got that new high-speed dubber. It only takes like 5 minutes to do a whole 30-minute cassette. It's fantastic.
Hey, Mike also
has his flip phone and his rotary phone.
Yeah.
We establish who has the rotary phone. Rich, what can we do for you, man?
Hey, I noticed they're using star players on special teams, and I don't think I've ever seen that. Why are they risking, like, Cyprian on special teams?
I guess I haven't noticed.
Yeah, there's a few guys who play, you know, and that's always been the case. But
you're right. It's not the case with everybody across the league, but there you see guys sprinkled around. When you say star players, it depends.
Starters, I assume he's saying. But I mean, listen, when you only have 45 who are going to be active,
say another reason.
It's hard to get, you know, and a number of them, you know, you only got so many defensive backs who are going to be up, and those are usually your special team linebackers and defensive backs are usually your special team's aces. So
you're not putting a bunch of linemen out there.
Right,
you
knock out your linemen. You probably don't want to put your number one receiver out there.
You don't want to put your top several receivers out.
Well,
there,
you don't want to. I mean, especially if it's on a coverage team where they're going to go tackle. You want your good tacklers.
Right.
So you're going to see. You know, you're going to see some frontline linebackers and some frontline defensive backs on the field on special teams.
Right.
And I think that's across the league. I don't think that's specific to the Jags.
Oh, I don't think so either. But it's not like, you know, you're not also seeing, you know, entire units of starters out there.
No.
There is something, too, to, I think, you're almost better off with some of those guys further down because there's more of that kamikaze effect. You know,
sure, they're nothing to lose. They're trying to make a name for themselves.
Absolutely.
Trying to stand out.
Of course, which is probably the reason why Rich is like, why the hell is Cyprian out there? Because there are kamikazes across from him out there on the field. All right, the Tom Bush Family Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight asked you today, which veteran player do you think is squarely on the hot seat as we go into week 3 of the preseason? Tony, what do we get?
From Matt, we got Kerry Taylor is on the bubble, yet should be able to step up with the loss of wide receiver this preseason. Hashtag Jaguars today. From John, Mike Brewster, Mike Harris, and Chris Przinski. Hashtag Jaguars today. From Duval Doom, Mike Harris doesn't cut Gus's style of defense. Hashtag Jaguars today. From Paul, Hearns in means Sanders out. Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag Gerhardt is Bam Bam. Hashtag hash browns. From Eric, would have been Alu Alu before the season, but now I'd say Przinski won't make it. Other guys playing better. Hashtag Jaguars today. From Cam, we got Mike Harris. There's so much depth at nickel right now, and Will Blackman is more versatile in special teams. Hashtag Jaguars today. From Noah, we got Brewster. And from Josh, I think it's Brewster, assuming he isn't gone already. Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag no, I want ice cream. Hashtag Brewsters. Hashtag cotton candy explosion. It's a bunch of ice cream stuff in there.
Is it? All right. Yeah.
Brewster is an ice cream company. Or Brewster.
I'm glad you're here to let me know. Is that a relatively new one? Because I wouldn't know that if it was. Apparently.
Let it go.
It's all good. Josh Richburg on Facebook just want to add this one. He says, I like him, but Jordan Todman may be cleaning out his locker. Hashtag Jaguars today.
Oh, no.
No. All right.
Yeah, that's the most obscene of all of those tweets is Jordan Todman.
He hasn't distinguished himself in the preseason, but the running game hasn't distinguished itself that much in the preseason.
But Jordan Todman's been the star of that running back group in the offseason.
Prior to training camp, certainly.
And even into training camp. I mean, he was dynamic in that open practice at Bartram Trail.
Yeah, he's had some good practices. I think people tend to focus in on the preseason game, which I understand. Those do count a little bit more. And you look at a guy like Denard Robinson, who's, you know, showed up pretty well in those games. But I think overall, you know, let's say Toby Gerhardt got hurt and was going to miss a couple weeks. Do you want to have a rookie in Storm Johnson, who still hasn't been fully tested in terms of pass protection, and a guy like Denard Robinson, who still, you know, finally got the hand healthy with the nerve damage, still making that transition from quarterback to running back, even though he's shown flashes? I think that's what they feel Todman is, you know, it may not be like the every down guy, but he'd come in, be the first and second down primary guy, maybe mixing in there a little bit with Storm Johnson. I think they think he's versatile. He can do a little bit of everything. And honestly, in the offseason, Mark, he's shown really good speed. When he gets a crease, he's shown the ability to break off long runs.
No question. I like him. I like everything about him. I think this team's going to carry four running backs into the season. And the question will be, is he up on game day? And I just don't know if he will be. You're talking about Storm Johnson, right?
Talking about Todman. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no. Todman will be up on game. He's a backup running back.
Right.
And they're going to get Denard some touches in there. But I think Storm Johnson's the guy who makes the roster, makes the 53-man, but probably has a hard time getting activated without barring some injury every single week. He's a guy who'll be inactive. But those other three are guys they like. I don't think there's any scenario in which they're going out looking for running backs off the street, guys who get cut anywhere. I think it's one of their deepest and a position they really, really like right now.
For me, Brewster, definitely. I mean, Logman putting them in the crosshairs a week ago. You know, as you said, a week ago Tuesday, that if he doesn't win the starting job, may not make it on this football team. It could be all or nothing for Mike Brewster. And, you know, he better distinguish himself this week. This is a big week for him, certainly. Who, other than Brewster, give me a guy in that category.
Well,
on the bubble.
I've said all along Josh Evans, and only because, you know, here's a guy who didn't hold on to his starting job, was given every opportunity last year as a sixth-round draft pick, and he didn't hold on, lost his starting job to Winston Guy. He's really had no real shot at getting it back right now. Winston Guy has separated himself there. And when you look at what they've done, they've used Przinski, and they've used Evans, and they've used the new guys, Joe Young and Sherrod Martin. All those guys have worked their way into the second team safety there. So I just think there's a lot of competition, and sometimes you go a little bit younger. If it's close.
Tony, got a guy?
I agree with both of you guys there, with Brewster and Evans could potentially be those guys. And I do think it's Mike Harris is the other veteran guy that is really in trouble.
Is he a veteran? Do you consider him a veteran? What do you call him?
He's as much a one as Brewster is.
Yeah.
Or Josh Evans.
Yeah. Evans got drafted last year.
But Evans has starts.
I mean, but this is a guy that 2 years ago was starting for them, you know, as that kind of third corner,
sure,
in a lot of situations. And they've improved the position enough now that Mike Harris is probably a guy, because of his size, he doesn't give him a whole lot on special teams. So he's not going to make the roster. Whether he's a part of this first round of cuts or not, we'll see.
All right, the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships brings you the Fan Feedback Spotlight. Take advantage of the pre-owned pets adoption event coming up on Sunday, August 24th, just days away. Tom Bush Mini will open up on Sunday for a pre-owned pet adoption event with the Jacksonville Humane Society. This is going to go on from 11 until 3 o'clock at the dealership at 9881 Atlantic Boulevard. Tom Bush Mini will pay for adoption fees. It's an indoor event, so rain or shine, if you're a pet lover, an animal lover, come on out to Tom Bush Mini this Sunday from 11 to 3 for the pre-owned pet adoption event. All right, that does it for us. Thanks to Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor. We've got the boys from XL Primetime coming up. I'm going to head over to CW17 and record with Josh Carney the first Your Jacks Fantasy Football show of the season. Draft special will air this Saturday, 1 hour, so look for that. I believe 6 o'clock Saturday on CW17, but check your local listings. We'll be tweeting that out. Final thought, AP Mark Long, anything?
I got nothing. Headed out to practice, the final kind of real practice. I guess tomorrow's a bit of a walkthrough.
Can you help me carry my stone tablet? I've been chiseling some notes for the show, and maybe you can help me out to the car with that. That would be fantastic.
You have a car.
Well, everyone said you got to get one of these tablets, and I thought...
You have a car, though.
I call it a car.
Funstone mobile?
It's a wagon.
Horses? Cows? Or mules?
No, it's a red wagon. A radio flyer. So I'm really cutting edge right now. All right. That does it for us. For Mark Long, for Fat Tony, for Lauren Brooks, and Joe Fortunato, I'm Mike Dempsey. Jaguars Today done. XL Primetime coming up next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.